tell them that right now.
Just stop there. And then
yeah,
you just stop. Then you just bend
light
space.
Is time.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you
yeah.
bend space time and
right.
different things.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Yeah. So, what happened with Jay-Z Knight, as the story goes, you know, can happen to anybody and is happening to a lot of people now. And what I would like, you know, 50 years from now, when someone asks me what did Voyage to the New World do for the world, it's I would like it to allow everyone the opportunity to tap into themselves and to know how they can make all of those realities happen and how they can channel themselves. They don't need to go to Ramtha. They don't need to read the books. They don't need to do anything. They just can start learning to listen to self.
Just start listening.
Listening and love. Love self, yeah.
I have a friend of mine that's writing a song about that we may use in a presentation that we're planning. It's called Listen, Listen, Listen.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Hey, one more thing about the pineal gland.
Oh, Bob, you're still with us.
Hi, Bob.
I'm listening to what you're saying, but I just wanted to... I'm very intent on what you're saying, but all these experiences, apparently, with the way Ramtha described the pineal gland, or however you say it, is that it's not a gland so much as it's an area that where your concentration gets focused on, and in a lower vibratory rate, they actually are crystals in this so-called gland. And when your life force goes up through the spine and focuses in that area, it opens like a flower, because it's, you know, like you see snowflakes, or like they pattern after flowers. Your thoughts are the same way. It's just when you're concentrating more on the reactive mind, as opposed to that higher consciousness, that dream state, astral, whatever, ethereal, many names, but it's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well said.
Well, the Christ consciousness, couldn't that mean crystallized consciousness of thought?
Well, sure. You know, and you know, being able to tap into that higher, well, that intuitional sense, or that super consciousness. Well, that's another word that's coming out. Super consciousness seems to be a palatable word that every religion can relate to. The premise that attitude controls it all, Bob, is where I really like to talk, because the morning is only the morning if you declare it such. I mean, you're only living in happiness and joy if you declare you're living in happiness and joy. So once you make that declaration, then your life embarks into this whole new adventure of exploring the grandness and the awesomeness of self. Because according to Ramtha, and as we go back into the early communications from Ramtha, where he talks about creation, that we were all there at the moment of creation. And that all of the social consciousnesses that we have been experienced through all the eons is a part of our soul. And we tap into that anytime we want to. People tell me that they undergo past lives, incarnational experiences. And they are tapping into not only their own experiences, but experiences that other people have experienced with them. And I also am firmly convinced that we live multidimensional lives now. That's where all the people are coming from. Our souls are taking numerous bodies. And that's a great reason never to hate anybody, because you never know if you're hating yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that you say that, because 10 years ago we taught that very secretly in private.
Did you really? Yeah.
And you're now teaching it publicly. And in the 40s and the 50s, we were very frightened to let anybody even know that we were teaching that, up until the time Losang Rampa Tuesday wrote his book, Ridiculous or Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
No one would even think about publicly mentioning it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you know, you'd be really surprised at all the talk shows that I've done. Every host and hostess have said, yeah, you know, I've heard little voices, and yeah, I've had astral experiences, and I know something's going on.
They've had astral experiences, other talk show hosts?
Can I interrupt you for one moment?
Sure.
I've never had one.
We'll have one tonight.
you asked him for proof. We did a 4-year project on regression.
Mm-hmm.
Did several hundred people. And we were able to prove what he just said, that people are living multiple lives, because by using various stages of trance meditative states of deep hypnosis and put them in regressions without suggestion, so allowing them to flow freely from life to life, We found that several of the people were floating to lifetimes. When we'd ask them where they are, they'd say, I'm in New York, I'm in Paris, I'm in London, I'm in South Africa. Back in the 50s, of the 200 or more people we worked on, 40% of them named the cities, the addresses, the graves, the everything, of who the other people were that they were. We said, no, you're not that person. You're this person. No, I am this person. And we were able to verify these things because these were people who were living here and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot who it was that we had on the show that had been working these experiences with these tandem lives.
Mm-hmm.
And in that experiment, they found the two people, or the other person, and they met.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a very loving situation,
by the way. That's what I'm saying we did in the 50s, yes.
Yeah.
Someday, someone's going to invent a little machine. Well, probably similar to Curlian photography. And we're going to focus it into a street in New York City, and we're going to see this thread that connects all these people.
Hmm.
And then we'll say, hey, Stevie Wonder was right. You know, those songs are really good.
right on target with that.
Even New York.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I hope we answered your question.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing that from what I've read, that Mu is going to rise again.
What's that?
That Mu is actually going to rise again. I hold in my hand right now a piece of onyx from Mu that I found, and I know I was here before. I found faces in the mountains that were carved of Brahma. Now, how in the world would a face of Brahma be up in the mountains here? This was part of Mu.
According to Ramtha, and this is some new information for the planet, that Atlantis didn't sink, it was rained upon. It's the basic premise. And the Atlanteans actually had the laser power. And the date goes back to about 35,000 years, and this is all according to Ramtha.
Right.
And there were wild beasts running around the planet at the time. And there were also people called the Lemurians, who were called soulless. And at this time, this was where the soul was removed from womanhood. At this time also, the soul was taken away. And the Atlanteans were experimenting around with lasers, trying to rid the planet of these beasts. And the laser blast took off. And at the time, Earth was surrounded by a cloud structure similar to Venus now. And the laser blast severed the stratum. And the great flood began. The storms began. And the rains rained down and the floods came. And the Atlantean Lemurian civilization is sitting between India and North American continent now. And up in the Pacific Northwest, Washington, up in those areas are where some of the high points of it remained. Now, when that happened, that was the first time, according to Ramtha, that we experienced death. Prior to that time, we never thought of death. We only thought of us as being eternal beings that live forever. And at that time also, the fear, that great superstition, fear, came into our being. And we saw our families flee away from us and our children flee. And that was where the fear of social consciousness. From that point, according to Ramtha and according to the book, that was where we decided we needed nations. We needed governments. We needed religions to protect us.
What a mistake.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
All right.
Really gracious of you to let me stay on.
Well, I could talk on this.
Bob, yeah. it was a good question, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're 22 minutes away from midnight on this Saturday night. With me is Douglas Marr. We have Nick Misurino standing by here. We've been talking about that crystal skull. We're now talking about Ramtha and Douglas's new book called The Voyage to the New World.
That we talk about is the world that Nick sees in his skull. That's what I was so interested in, the world of peace and brotherhood and joy and bliss and everyone. You see, if we all knew we could manifest anything we wanted to, we wouldn't need to war for it.
That's true.
They ought to study TK and they'd find out what they can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what books like Voyage and skulls like Nick are doing is presenting to the entire planet how they can tap into the source and make it happen for them. And then you get into this place where you don't need it because you got it.
I want to tap into a source that lets us have the show.
We won't need them.
Well, right now...
We do.
Right now, we think they're a very, very good idea. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night. Lanza. And let's see. I think Greg has a line. Has something here. Hello, Greg.
Hi. I have a question for Doug.
Right on.
Okay, Doug. I'm pretty naive to this, but I do feel a sense of power. I do call it ESP, mental telepathy, whatever you want. My problem is that I haven't got to the point to where I can challenge it yet. Channel it. And I think I'm right in the middle.
Mm.
And what is really awkward is I'm finding out a lot of negative feedback.
Oh, yes.
And it's kind of built a brick wall up. And what do you suggest to me?
Well, the first, when a beautiful being realizes that they're beginning to raise their vibrational rates, the first sign of it is the receipt of negative comments from friends and family. And
your own consciousness.
Your own consciousness. Yeah. And that's what we talk about in the book known as Unlimitedness, is when you allow that thought to come through. And people who are bringing forth the new inventions and the new technologies now are allowing that unlimited thought to come through. And the real key, Greg, is not to judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We judge ourselves consistently all the time, and that limits us. That puts us into the box.
Right.
And that closes the lid over ourselves. And when we can open that lid and allow our truth to permeate without making our truth a universal truth, and by that I mean that we allow everyone else their own truth, then you kind of get into a place where you don't really care what people say about you or think about you, because you're just in your own space doing your own thing. All of the great songwriters today, when they tap into that source and create that magnificent song, that's what they're doing, basically. The great authors that you see today, and the ones that are going to come, and the great channels that we're going to have on this planet, are those who are just here having a great, great fun time.
Right.
And allowing the flow to flow and going with the flow. And if we would stop judging ourselves, we would open up a whole new paradise for us. But you know, we get up in the morning and you know, we look at our face and comb our hair and we stand on the scale and we constantly judge ourselves. People smile at us and we're happy, and people frown at us and we're sad, and we're through the process of judging self. So that's why Stevie Wonder is such a great example.
Right.
I mean, he can't see what people are feeding back to him.
Exactly. And if I can remember back a book I read, there has been a test where a blind man was actually given his sight back through surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew such magnificent pictures beforehand. And when he realized that he could see, he died within 2 months.
Yeah. Yes.
And so...
Yeah, fascinating.
I feel the power, I really do. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you another question, just kind of put you on the spot again. I don't know, that's why I'm asking. I don't mean to put anybody
down.
Well,
you know, none of us really know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy that invented the plow, you know, he didn't know that he would change the agriculture on the planet forever.
Right.
And even then the church said, don't do this. This is blasphemy. Galileo, Copernicus, you know,
mm-hmm.
He's still...
Galileo is still excommunicated.
Yeah.
Right.
So there are those kinds of people that are the adventurers.
Right.
And they go out and accept the adventure.
I guess that's...
And you know, when they make it big, we put them out on the plateau. We turn them into idols.
Right.
You know, they make a fortune. They make $100 million, and suddenly they're to be worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly we couldn't do it ourselves, you know. So what's going to happen, what I feel is happening with the new world that I write about, is a world where everybody comes into their psychic powers, if we can call it psychic powers, comes into their super consciousness, And they do this, and they tap into self, and they do it not to form a new religion. We only have 11,000 religions now.
Something like that.
We don't need another one.
I think that's part of my problem, too. I wasn't brought up in a really church-going family, but I'm always looking. I'm going from one church to another and stuff. And I feel real close to God, and I feel a Christian, but at the same time, I feel this power. And it's kind of like a tug-of-war, you know, well, mentally with me. It's a fight that I'm having. I've got these people on one side saying it's not right, it's terribly wrong, you shouldn't even think that way. And then I've got myself saying, but yet, you got to let it go. You know, and it's just, it's confusing for me.
Well, do you know what the definition of God is? Let's just to talk religion for a second.
All I know is my own.
Well,
I don't know much.
Yeah.
You know?
Every religion defines God as omnipresent,
mm-hmm.
which means he's present. He or it or she is present in everything, everywhere, all the time. And if he's present in everything, if it's present in everything, then certainly it's present in all of us, and certainly we are equal in that light. Every religion that I've studied has called that blasphemy. That's how far away they are from the new realities that are right around the corner. And it's okay. They can have that space, and they can be that way, and they can limit anybody they want to limit. In 1984, we gave $29 billion to religion because they told us we had to go through them instead of through ourselves to God. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have given the money to religion. I'd like to know what they're really doing for us. All I've seen is tremendous separation created in families,
mm-hmm.
in countries, and in nations.
Build a lot of buildings.
Build a lot of buildings. They've remained untaxed for centuries. They create the power of separation, againstness. And as I said earlier, there are 11,000 organized religions, and every one of them will tell you that the other guy is wrong,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to hell. Now, that is a great sadness for me, to believe that we cannot think, we cannot believe, we can't think unlimitedness because we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is holding you back and a lot of other people back. And let yourself go, enjoy the flow, discover the grandeur of self, and discover what you are, and let everybody else have their own truth. That's what I feel the new world is all about.
I hope that helps you, Greg.
I'm sure it will. I, too, am reading one of Shirley's books, and I'm waiting for the day that you have her on. But,
so am I.
But
come on, Shirley, get on the stick.
It's really, you know, I called last Sunday, and I was talking to the pastor and whoever else they
mm-hmm.
had on, and it was really frustrating for me because I know where I'm at, and
right.
I want to grow. I want to get, you know, I want to become more. I have a vision of where I want to be.
Very good, Greg.
And at the same time, you know, I was getting negative stuff back. But I hear what you're saying, and I'll keep going.
Good. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on KABC. You can get to your question, Terry, if you quit.
No, I didn't quit.
No, I said if you're quick.
Oh, well, if I'm quick. Oh, okay. My question is, this has been a fascinating conversation. I went to a workshop recently, and there was a discussion about Record Keeper, which is a triangular shape which appears on crystals, and that these are like storage houses of information, sort of like a micro dot, sort of that's what I gathered is the inference there, and that these messages are to lead us to a place that is of peace and of love and of unlimited expansion. And earlier when we were talking about the crystal skull, and there was some mention about when other crystals are placed around the skull, messages are transferred to other crystals. I guess what I want to know is that was just a discussion that I heard, and I wondered if you could elaborate on a little bit further, either of your guests. Are crystals, can they become a tool for enlightenment? A source to tap off, not necessarily that they are the source, but another source to get some of this information? Can you comment on that?
Well, yes. A crystal is a tool. Let's first understand that. A crystal works with the human energy, with the human mind, and it is a tool. It is nothing else but a way of helping you, if you will, put your knowledge together or your energies together and do certain things that you wish to do. Some people use it for healing. Some people use it to gain more knowledge. Some people combine and merge with it, such as Mr. Mars was talking about. We call it astral body, astral senses, into the seven levels, each having seven dimensions, each one below that having seven levels, which comes to 500 and something levels. That's knowledge that's been taught for thousands of years. And the crystal helps you venture into some of this. And if you are prepared for, one, to love yourself,
mm-hmm.
number two, to like yourself,
mm-hmm.
number three, to observe that which is negative as well as that which is positive, you'll find that merging into the crystal or with the crystal. In the old days, we always started you out with a tree, and from the tree we moved you to stones to a crystal. And you begin to flow very quickly and very openly. And many of the things, such as the former questioner asked about the pineal gland and so forth and so on, begins to take place. Now, we can activate these things, but you don't really need all these tools.
Mm-hmm.
What you need, basically, is you. You have to first come to a love for yourself. You have to come to an understanding
for
yourself.
I can relate to that.
And then the other thing is just a tool that helps balance it.
I guess that's what I need to know.
Yes.
Because through A Course in Miracles, I have reached that level of consciousness. That's a very good course. Yes.
Terry? We've just reached a level of consciousness here, which says we're going to have to go by.
All right. Maybe I'll see one of these fellows tomorrow at Alexandria.
Yeah, get on over there.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for that question. And that'll have to wrap it up. Nick Messerino and the Crystal Skull have been here. Douglas Marr has been here about Ramtha and about channeling. Master Ho will be at Alexandria 2 tomorrow. And you can see the Crystal Skull next weekend in San Francisco. Where is it?
It's at the Cathedral Hotel on Van Ness in San Francisco. It's the International Crystal Congress. And it's between June 20th, it starts Friday, and ends Sunday night.
That's it.
You can get the whole
The great...